Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Prague Six authorities have ordered that the controversial statue of Soviet Marshal Ivan Konev be covered up and hidden behind scaffolding. Czech Gripens are to protect the airspace of the Baltic states until the end of the year, and the state is to spend 580 million crowns on the reconstruction of Hotel Thermal associated with the Karlovy Vary Film Festival. The Prague Six authorities have ordered that the statue of Soviet Marshal Ivan Konev be covered up and hidden behind scaffolding. They say it is the easiest and cheapest way of protecting it against vandalism. The controversial statue has repeatedly been vandalized with spray paint in the past, most recently on the anniversary of the Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia, sparking controversy between Prague and Moscow. The local authorities in Prague Six have been pushing for the statue to be moved to the grounds of the Russian embassy in Prague and refused to clean it up when it was last sprayed with red paint, saying the act reflected the feelings of the public. Marshal Konev is perceived as a controversial figure in this country. Although he helped liberate the country from Nazi oppression, he was also involved in the suppression of the Hungarian uprising in 1956 and the construction of the Berlin Wall in 1961. Five Czech Gripen fighter jets departed on a NATO mission to protect the airspace of Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania on Friday morning. The Baltic states do not have supersonic jets of their own, and Allied members take turns defending their airspace. Czech pilots will be deployed at Amari base in Estonia until the end of the year and undertake the mission in cooperation with alliance members Belgium and Denmark. The state has earmarked 580 million crowns for the reconstruction of Hotel Thermal, which traditionally serves the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, Finance Minister Alena Šilerová told reporters on Friday. The reconstruction of the state-owned hotel and adjacent swimming pool should be concluded by 2021. Minister Šilerová said the aim was to preserve the hotel's original appearance as far as possible. Firefighters have managed to put out a fire raging on the grounds of the Losovice Chemicals factory since Thursday afternoon, the CTK news agency reported early on Friday. Three firefighters were injured in the blaze. A team of experts will investigate the cause of the fire as soon as conditions allow. Preliminary damage has been estimated at around 40 million crowns. The main factory hall, with around 300 employees, was not damaged. Hundreds of people attended an open-air concert in Prague's Wallenstein Gardens commemorating the 30th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution on Thursday night. The event featured the Prague Symphony Orchestra, led by conductor Jan Kučera, which performed Antonín Dvořák's Slavonic dances, and singers Jaroslav Hutka, Aneta Langerová, Michal Kocáb, and the group Spiritual Quintet, with songs reminiscent of the heady days of the Velvet Revolution. The concert, called Velvet Voices, was the first of a series of big concerts and cultural events celebrating the return of democracy to the country 30 years ago. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Saturday should be clear to partly cloudy with day temperatures between 28 and 32 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hi there, this is Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, Karlovy Vary's iconic thermal hotel is to be renovated, but not everybody is satisfied with the plans. Opera singer Adam Plachetka launches a new record and sings to an audience in bathtubs on a Prague Centre rooftop. And later we visit one of the world's oldest aircraft manufacturers, that's the Czech company Aero Vodochody. Well, that's coming up in today's programme. After years of contentious debate, the government on Friday revealed plans to renovate the towering exposed concrete Hotel Thermal, purpose-built in the 1970s to serve as the main venue of the famous Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. However, not everybody is happy with the new project, as Brian Kennedy has been finding out.
Of the myriad buildings that the famous Czech husband and wife architectural team of Vladimir and Věra Machonin designed, perhaps none is better known worldwide than the Hotel Thermal. Since it opened in 1977, scores and scores of Hollywood stars and directors have appeared on the red carpet during the A-list film festival it plays host to. Since the state took ownership of the hotel 5 years ago, the grandchildren of the fabled architects have lobbied unsuccessfully for the Brutalist-style building, considered an icon by some and a socialist-era eyesore by others, to obtain protected cultural heritage status. Following Friday's press conference in Karlovy Vary, at which Prime Minister Andrei Babiš and Finance Minister Alena Šilerová were present, along with architects, I asked one grandson, Jan Kodoski, whether he was encouraged by their pledge to preserve the original character of the Hotel Thermal while upgrading its rooms, spa facilities, and dilapidated outdoor pool to make sure it was worthy of a 4 or 5 star rating.
We're trying to explain to people over the past 5 years why is Hotel Thermal valuable. There is not much else we can do than to write open letters and try to explain to the public why they should care about this not exactly great looking on a first glance building. So this press conference was an end of all these struggles. It seems to us that the Minister Šilerová, she got briefed yesterday on what exactly the building is. And the words she said sounded somehow promising, and we really, really hope she's going to end up doing the things that she said. But it's quite shocking that a reconstruction of this scale doesn't have an architect. The new general of the hotel, Mr. Novák, he said he might bring one in, and we hope that he's going to do it. Because reconstructing a building of this scale and of this difficult past and of this value needs someone who understands the building, who likes the building, and needs someone who's going to look after details and things of value.
Vladimir and Věra Machonin designed not only the entire building, but also its interiors, including the futuristic-looking red leatherette chairs and high-top plastic swivel chairs at the diner-like coffee bar in the Hotel Thermal lobby. A veritable who's who of Czech designers also worked on it, including some who had been effectively blacklisted after the Warsaw Pact invasion of Czechoslovakia in 1968. While many original, albeit tarnished, elements remain, others, including much of the funky bespoke furniture, is long gone or obscured behind elements added in subsequent decades. Jan Kordovsky again.
We really hope they will talk to either our grandmother, who's willing to help out with anything, or to someone who's going to help them bring the faded glory of the building back to its original state, or at least to something which makes sense and is as a whole.
Part of what concerns the grandson of the architects most is that one of the designers of the new model rooms presented on Friday is the very same person who convinced the former cultural minister that the Hotel Thermal should not enjoy protected status, calling it a virtual copy of a building by Brazilian architect Oscar Niemeyer.
And he basically managed to make this building not a protected building, and then he's doing the part of the reconstruction.
So is it fair to say that that's the most concerning aspect of the news from today, in your view?
Yes. Our biggest concern is that the words that were said are not going to go forward. It's just going to be something to please the public, and it's still going to end up looking like an airport hotel in Düsseldorf, which from the pictures, from the rooms that we have seen, it looks like it.
The state first tried to offer Hotel Thermal for sale, but almost immediately withdrew the offer. The projected cost of the renovation is well over ₹500 million. Finance Minister Alena Šilerová said work on the interiors should begin already this year. As of October, Vladimir Novák, who has been in the hotel business for 25 years, will take up the post of Thermal Hotel Director.
That report was by Brian Kennedy. The renowned Czech baritone Adam Plachetka launched his new CD on Thursday. Called Winter Journey, the album contains his renditions of 24 poems set to music by Schubert. The opera singer also performed music from Don Giovanni to fully dressed people in bathtubs at the launch's unusual venue, the rooftop of Prague's Lucerna Palace. And he explained all by phone to my colleague, Tom McEncrow.
Those were actually two things not directly connected to each other. We presented the album in the morning or at 11, and then this special concert was in the evening.
Is that the first time you've sung to someone in a bathtub? And why did the organizers choose such a particular situation?
Well, it is a play on words, because John Dovani in Czech means John in the bathtub. We sort of call the opera that every now and then when we do it, and I just never went the whole way to actually explore what that can mean. And I really like the idea, even though it sounds crazy. I just felt it's so crazy that it must work, and it did.
Let's get to the album, though, Winter Journey. You are singing songs by Franz Schubert. Could you tell us a bit more about the album? It's coming out in September, if I'm correct. What sort of stuff can people look forward to?
It's a record that is really dear to me in terms of it being very intimate, and it's probably not for people who just want to, you know, hear arias. It's somebody talking to himself only with piano accompaniment. It goes really deep, and some people say it's depressive. I don't think it's depressing. It's sort of, in my view, it's more finding a solution, finding a release, a way out of being depressed. And as I view it, I think in the end he does, which is brilliant. It's just an amazing opportunity to span the energy and the whole feel over 24 songs. It's a real long thing. It's about 70 minutes if you do it in one go. And it's just so much joy that I'm really happy we managed to record it.
You have already had 170 concerts in your career so far. I was just wondering, what are you planning ahead for the coming season?
Well, my season starts in Chicago now. I'm going on Monday. There's Barber of Seville, where I do Figaro, and then I'll go to New York to sing The Count in Figaro's Marriage. Then I come back home for Christmas, and in January we do a big concert at the O2 Arena in Prague. And after that, which is kind of a milestone, because it's a huge thing. We've got space for 12,000 people, over 12,000 people, which for a classical event is a really big venue. And then when that's done, I go back to New York to do Figaro in Figaro's Marriage.
That was the opera singer Adam Plaketka, and he was speaking to my colleague Tom McEncrow. For the past 5 years, one of the world's oldest aircraft manufacturers, Aero Vodochody, has been developing a next-generation jet trainer. Engineers say that one of its key selling points is its ability to train pilots from beginning to end, which is a new concept in how pilots are taught. To find out more, Tom McEncrow visited the two sites where the ongoing tests are underway.
On the northern outskirts of Prague lies the Czech Republic's Aerospace Research Center, also known as VZLU. Built during the 1980s, the vast complex, which stretches over many hectares, once employed over 1,000 people. Now, there are far less. Not much has changed in its outward appearance, and to an onlooker, it may at first seem like a relic of the past. However, the communist-era facility has adapted to the country's switch to a market economy. Many of its buildings are now rented by some of the Czech Republic's leading startups, which produce high-tech wares such as 3D printers, stratospheric balloons, and advanced batteries. The contents of each of these buildings would be worthy of interest, but we are headed for the largest one of them all, a testing hall that Daniel Zeman, the man in charge of VZLU Communications, says is unique in the country.
We are standing in front of the biggest hall we have here at VZLU. This building has been built in the middle of the 80s, and it serves for development and testing of aircraft. And basically all the Czechoslovak and later Czech aircraft projects have been tested here in this building. This hall is as big that the whole Boeing 737 can be put inside.
The object we have come to see lies within this building. It is the brand new version of the Czech L-39 jet aircraft, which has been training military pilots in Russia, Europe and the Middle East since the 1960s. The new version is called the L-39NG, NG stands for Next Generation, and it promises to revolutionise Air Force pilot training, says Wojciech Labuda, the man in charge of the L-39NG programme at Aerovodochody, the company that built it.
I would say that jet trainer is absolutely necessary element in military pilot training syllabus. However, nowadays, normal standard in the world is that very early students start with propeller-powered aircrafts, and then at some advanced stage of their training, they advance to jet trainers. In fact, selling point of L-39NG is that this will be platform providing integrated training from zero to combat pilot.
A mix of machines, scaffolding and strange sounds are the first things that make an impression as one enters the large hall. In front of it all stands Václav Horák, the man responsible for the aircraft's ongoing static and fatigue tests, which the hall is being used for. He leads me through the metal, pointing to the floor, which he says is built to support strong forces from loading aircraft. Finally, we see the plane. It is not the whole L-39NG. This particular aircraft is missing its cockpit and some of its wing flaps. For good reason, I find out later in his office, because this particular model is destined for destruction through a series of strength tests.
Vizetelu is for this moment responsible for static strength tests of the whole airframe of L-39NG airplane in flying configuration and its parts. That means wing, fuselage and stabilizer in a rigid fixture. The airplane is suffered during the flight various loads from air and from ground. So according the rules, we have to test all that loads and of course verify how the airplane is good for operation.
The jet trainer was first presented to the public as a design prototype 5 years ago. It has a wingspan of just over 9 metres and is nearly 12 metres long. With a basic weight of 3.8 tonnes, it can carry an extra 2.6 tonnes in added weight. In outward appearance, the L-39NG differs very little from its predecessor, the L-39 Albatross, which was developed more than 50 years ago. However, as Mr. Labuda tells me, this is because of the original design's excellent aerodynamics.
We decided to not change as much as possible just because the simple reason is L-39 is proven and very known in the world. So in terms of aerodynamics, we took over everything. In terms of internal design, internal structure, primary structure and secondary structure, and mainly avionics systems, it's completely brand new aircraft.
Back in Mr. Horak's office, the old VZLU engineer agrees and says that aero designers have always been good at what they do.
I am many years in VZLU responsible for number of strength tests, and the whole array of aircraft was very good design, and I can say that the Aero Vodochody has very good design person, and they are complete able to facilitate the overtime design of aircraft for advanced and future design and development.
As we discuss aircraft, the conversation moves to another aspect of testing, the science of examining aircraft resistance to bird impacts. When they take place during real flights, they can cause catastrophic damage to planes, such as was very nearly the case earlier in August, when a flock of gulls smashed into a Russian Airbus 321's engines, causing them to catch fire. Mr. Horák says that when it comes to Czech planes, tests are usually conducted in one of the VZLU's buildings.
We simulate this impact by the chicken, of course, with fresh killer chicken, and we are able to test up to 4 or 8 pounds of mass of such chicken. We are testing, for example, windows or leading edges or inlets of engine for impact of not only birds, because there is many, many flying objects, of course, like hail or tire debris, metal debris, for example. This is a very important test. There are many examples of catastrophic impacts.
Our discussion on the rather macabre topic suddenly ends, however, when I am invited to Aira Vodochoda itself to visit their plant, which lies close to the nearby town of Odolena Voda. The short trip is brought to a halt at Aira's reception, where a thorough security check takes place. Security is necessary because Aero's manufacturing plant is also an airport and its hangars contain planes that are being serviced for various clients. The company spokesman, Tobias Tvrdík, says that some of these hangars have been holding planes since the First Republic period, as Aero has been in existence since the early days of aviation itself.
Aero Vodochody is the oldest Czech aerospace manufacturer, and by the way, it's one of the oldest in the world. So there are not so many companies around the world with such a history. It's maybe coincidence, but also the first originally designed aircraft in 1919 was trainer. So we defined our segment in the real beginning. Later also we produced bombers and also civil aircraft. Aerotaxi AE-45, also quite a famous design.
In its 100-year history, Aero has produced around 11,000 aircraft. Out of these, more than 6,000 were jet aircraft. The knowledge required to design jet planes was acquired during the communist era, when the Soviet Union gave Aero the license to produce its MiG-15s.
If we speak about jet trainers, this history has started in the 50s. In the 50s of the last century, under the license, we produced more than 3,000 MiG-15. And based on this experience, we developed our first jet aircraft, which was L-29 Delphine. We produced more than 3,000 of those. And L-39, which is, I think, the most successful jet trainer in the world, was designed in the late 60s by famous designer Mr. Velček and produced almost 3,000 pieces also.
When the Iron Curtain disappeared in 1989, so did many of Aero's contracts guaranteed by socialist central planning. But the company has since managed to adapt, says Mr. Tvrdík.
You are right, those years were maybe quite tough, but nowadays we have three pillars of our business, thanks to this past. One is a proprietary aircraft, L-39NG, L-159, and its modernizations, etc. The second one is aerostructures business. That means our deliveries to international aircraft manufacturers like Airbus, Embraer. And the third is a so-called MRO, which means maintenance and repairs of current aircraft. We mentioned L-39. Those aircraft are still about 600 flying, so also support to this current fleet of L-39s is big potential for our business. And the strategy now is built on to become again the proprietary aircraft producer, and obviously the L-39NG is the product which could help us.
A lot is at stake for Aero. It has pursued the L-39NG as its main design since 2014 and is hoping to bring a lot of revenue by offering it as a next-generation replacement to the many air forces across the world that are currently using its predecessor, the L-39. The new plane is set to be certified by the end of 2020, after which it will enter service. There are already two agreed contracts. The Czech Air Force has purchased four planes for pilot training, while that of Senegal has bought a further four planes to be configured for light combat roles. Although a jet trainer by design, the L-39NG can also serve in combat. A further potential buyer, Portugal's Skytech, has signed a letter of intent with Aero, and the company is looking for buyers in Asia and East Central Europe. Program lead Wojciech Labuda, who is supervising ongoing fatigue tests on another L-39NG plane, tells us the high expectations are based around three key selling points.
First is a platform, which is legacy of old L-39, which is proven. Second is its features to provide state-of-art modern philosophy of future military pilot training syllabus. And third point is that L-39NG as a project, not only aircraft, will be supported massively by integrated logistic systems, including very wide support training devices from a cockpit procedure and desktop trainer through a full flight simulator up to a mission training center.
When asked about how the tests have been going so far, he smiles.
Very, very precise results of all tests we did so far, and absolutely precisely predicted by engineers. So I would say that everything is on track, and we did not have any surprises, which surprises me.
Those interested in seeing the L-39 when it is first unveiled to the public will have the opportunity at next month's NATO Days Army and Air Force show, which are taking place on September 21st and 22nd at the Moshnov Airport near Ostrava. If you're curious about finding more about AERO's 100-year history, a special exhibition which features AERO's aircraft and even cars is currently running at the National Technical Museum in Prague until November 17th.
That report there was by Tom McEncrow. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for in today's programme. Please send any comments you may have to english@radio.cz. And you will, of course, find us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at the station, thank you very much indeed for listening, folks, and speak to you soon.